May the God of all hope fill you with the peace and joy of believing in Christ our Savior, that believing in Him, you may abound in hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we assemble this evening to praise God and implore His blessings at the beginning of the 138th year of this institution, there are many thoughts that fill our minds and hearts. We come from various places in this great world. We have varied backgrounds, and we have many different hopes and aspirations. And yet, as we sit here this evening, there are many things that tie us together. What is that one thing that ties us together above all? It is, of course, our common conviction that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord, and that we have been called by Him to be His children by faith in Jesus Christ, and even to be those earthen vessels which pass on that saving word to all the nations. And yet you ask yourself, what lies ahead? You look at your own spiritual condition, and you and I know what that is. Or you who teach, you wonder what this school year has in store for you with its uncertainties, particularly those brothers who are being installed as members of our faculty and staff this evening. Students have come from many places in this great land and this great church. Some have returned from a year of vicarage and are already now beginning to count the days until they take their place with God's ordained servants throughout the world. Others have come back for another year of study after a summer in working and in witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ in various ministries. And still others are here for the first time. Some have changed careers at the midstream of life. All of us want to know, dear Lord, what will it be? What should guide my life? What should be the goal of my study? From what perspective should I carry on my path? And this is a question that we face not only individually, but we face it collectively as an institution as well. I would suggest that for our guidance and our direction, in our pursuit of that perspective from which we view our futures and undertake our many and varied tasks at this place, we turn our attention to the Word of God, which is our text for this evening. For in that word from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, we find that kind of perspective, a perspective that bids us to remember that the prize is right. Let's read it together, and let's read it aloud. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You will recall that the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Philippians in a very beautiful and well-known context in the book of Philippians. He began chapter 3 by urging the Philippian Christians to rejoice in the Lord. And then he warns them that they have many things to be on their guard about. But then he reminds them, and this becomes the central theme of much of this chapter, that there is no point in glorying in one's own achievements, for after all, we are what we are because of Jesus Christ. And then in what appears at first to be somewhat of an aside, he calls attention to his own achievements after the flesh and reminds his readers that were anyone to boast or were anyone to count on his past and count on his achievements, Paul would have something to say. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. And yet, he says, my goal in writing to you is that if I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends upon faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In other words, were I to boast about my past, I have much that I could say, but I don't do it, because I don't place my hope, I don't set my sights on God's goals for me on the basis of who I am or what I have done, but rather on the basis of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. And then he has this little section from which our text is taken, in which he says, however, it's not as though I had already attained this great goal that God has for me in Jesus Christ. It's not as though I'm already perfect, even though in one sense and one very important sense, I am perfect as you are in Jesus Christ. I am still fighting, still running the race. And the apostle flips into this athletic language that he likes so well. The words of our text are taken straight from the imagery, as you know, the imagery of the Greek runner competing in a race. He forgets what lies behind. He strains forward. And the word in the original simply cries out with the picture of the runner, the kind we saw on our television sets this summer, participating in the Olympics, for whom every muscle is strained, whose chest is out, whose arms are beating, and whose legs are straining toward the goal of winning that race. And the Apostle Paul says, that's the way it is for me. I'm not counting on what I have done or who I am. Christ has called me with this upward call, this call to be his child and to live with him in heaven. And in that call lies the goal toward which I continue to press and to strain, because I know that the prize is nothing less than God's high call in Christ Jesus. These are remarkable words in a remarkable text. This evening, let us focus our attention on some rather obvious thoughts, but in those obvious thoughts, find perspective for this year, yea, for our ministries and for our lives. Point number one is that your life as a Christian, like your ministry, the ministry that you're in now and the office of the holy ministry that lies ahead for most of you, is in fact a race. There is a constant struggle to win and be victorious involved in our Christian life and our Christian ministry. There are always those who think that we have arrived, that we're already there, that God's gift is in hand, and that there is no longer any need to keep in shape, to stay in condition, to really strive to win that prize. So Paul's first reminder, of course, is you are in a race. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one for students of theology, because in addition to the many temptations that occur to all of us as Christian people in this world of sin and temptation, is the temptation to think that somehow by our study of theology or our teaching of it, we are already there, or at least very, very close to the goal. Point one, we're in a race in which our goal is nothing less than victory in Jesus Christ. But what Paul would have us focus on particularly is the way in which we go about running this race of life, this race that is the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ to ourselves and others. Let's call attention particularly, first of all, to his first phrase, forgetting what lies behind. Paul says, I press on toward the goal. I would suppose that many of you are much more able than I, because of your much, much greater athletic prowess, to impress upon yourselves and upon others how important it is for the athlete to forget what lies behind as he is engaged in the race. He looks over his shoulder, he looks back at the other runners, he gazes into the crowd, and in that brief second, loses the precious step, loses the advantage that he had. It happened this summer in the Olympics on occasion. I think we all saw it. The Apostle Paul says that running the race of life and of ministry involves forgetting what lies behind. For the Apostle Paul, that meant forgetting both some very bad things, by our judgment, and some very good things. For example, it meant forgetting that he had once been the chief persecutor of the Church of God. It meant that he had to forget his former dependence upon his own life and his own efforts to receive God's goodness and favor. And like all people in this world, he had his flesh, his sins, his shortcomings, as he never tires of reminding us in his epistles. So he forgot what was bad. It also meant forgetting what was good. And he had many achievements to point to. He was a very learned man, had been a very zealous man, a very prominent man, a gifted man. And yet he says, I forget all of that. Forgetting what lies behind is important, yea, necessary, if we are to run the race aright. This is a very difficult thing to do. It's difficult to forget what lies behind. Think, for example, of what this seminary has lying behind it. 138 years of history as a fine quality institution, training men for the ministry of the Lutheran Church. At one point, it could even say that it was the largest seminary of any denomination in this land, and not too many years ago, the largest Lutheran denomination. Particularly in this year, we can point to 50 years of life and service and activity on this magnificent campus. You who sit here tonight, just think of it. 50 years ago, people sat in these very chairs when Francis Pieper was the president of this institution. It's hard to forget what lies behind. Those are just the good things, and we have more than our share of bad things in our past. The apostle would say to us as an institution, forget what lies behind. And he would say it to us as persons. To our senior students, sure, you were the greatest vicar that ever hit Zion Church in Germantown, Pennsylvania, or wherever, no doubt about it, but forget it. And to you who had the top marks in your class, that was in fact a great achievement, but the apostle says, forget it. I could say that I'm the Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. And we have that tendency too. That's constantly the way we think. We see our grades, our achievements, our learned degrees, our experience in the ministry, our gifts, and they're all there. But if we're to win this race as people who are Christ and as ministers of his gospel, it is important that we forget what lies behind. And that hurts our pride. But it's also important to forget what lies behind, because sometimes what lies behind is cause not for pride but for despair. You look at the bad things in your life. You look at the bad things in the history of an institution, and you feel downhearted at times, you feel despondent, and you wonder what you can possibly do that would amount to anything. Well, the Apostle Paul says, that's not the way to run the race. You don't keep looking back over your shoulder, either at what was good or what was bad in your life as an individual or as an institution. Forget what lies behind, whether that wounds your pride or makes it necessary even for you to lose those things that you like to brood about and be despondent about. The way to do it, he says, and look at those magnificent words, is to strain forward, to strain forward, like the runner in the race, forward to what lies ahead, to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a magnificent call that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a magnificent call that is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in this context and many others, talks about it. I press on to make this my own, he says in verse 12, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He talks about his resurrection. He talks about his suffering, his death, his resurrection from the dead, his calling of us through the gospel. And just think of that. He's called us in that very same way. We too have this upward call, as this version translates it, or the high call, as the King James puts it, or the heavenward call, as still other versions translate this somewhat difficult word. God has called you and me in Christ Jesus to be something greater and better than a Hebrew born of Hebrews, an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the law, a great vicar, a great student, an outstanding teacher. He has called us to be his children, his sons, his daughters in Jesus Christ. And to you who teach his word and preach his gospel and train to be his ministers, and I lay these words particularly on the hearts of my new colleagues this evening, he has actually called you not only to run the race yourself, but to be a playing coach for others, to train God's people to run, to help them get into condition and to stay there, to give them the kind of guidance that will enable them to run the race with their eyes on the goal of the prize of the high and heavenly calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful prize it is. What a wonderful thing it is for our individual life and our institutional ministry and our personal goal to be able to keep our eyes on the goal, to forget what lies behind, and to take our perspective from what lies in the future. It's somewhat hard to adjust one's thinking to that. It becomes comfortable sometimes to live in the past, to fight the battles of the past, to cite our past achievements, to take comfort in what we have been or where we have come from or similar things that we all use as our crutches. No, says the apostle, you don't need that kind of crutch. Forget what lies behind. Strain forward to what lies ahead, this goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And you know the remarkable thing about this magnificent prize is that in one sense it's already won. It's that paradox, that tension in the Christian life. It's the already and the not yet. It's the being a saint while remaining a sinner. That's what the apostle is talking about. We strain for that which we already have by God's gift in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, these are words of hope. There come times in the lives of us all when we don't feel hopeful, when we feel rather confused and despondent and despairing, and we really don't know quite what to do. Well, to turn your gaze inward or backward is to lose sight of the goal. But to keep your eye on the goal with the reminder that the prize of our heavenward call in Christ Jesus is your goal. To keep your eye there is to find hope. To find hope in him who is the gift of faith, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. There is, of course, no room for pride in people whose eye is on the goal, because we really don't win this race under our own power. We are drawn to it, as it were, by this gracious Lord of ours who fought himself, who died, in fact, to win that prize for us. There is no room for laziness, for flabbiness, for being out of condition, for not straining forward to what lies ahead, for not pressing on toward the goal. There is no room for that kind of sloppy attitude toward running the race of the Christian life or the Christian theologian. Coach Peterson or any good coach or athletic director, I doubt very much, would encourage his teams to go out there on the court in poor condition, or who would tolerate sloppiness or ineffectiveness in training. Brothers and sisters, how much more reason have we to put ourselves in the kind of shape through God's own great conditioners, the gospel itself in baptism and the Lord's Supper and the preached and spoken word of brother to brother, to use these means this year and throughout our lives to be conditioned to run that race, straining forward to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal like a runner in the Olympic race itself. Brothers and sisters, may these words give us direction and perspective. The future is here. The future is where it's at. The race is on. The goal is victory in Jesus Christ. But the prize is right. God help us to remember that and to fight in that way. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.